That's good to be back at camp meeting. I don't know of a time I've been on these grounds that I hadn't got some help. And I'm thankful for that. I've met a lot of good men of God, good families. And I tell you, I'm so thankful. The Lord's been so good to us. I was thinking about Brother Rule this morning. You know, I thought that we can get so sick and so wore out in this world that over yonder looks better than over here. We have all seen people suffer. Seen them die. Go away from here. I tell you, I'm glad that we do get to the place where over yonder looks better than over here. Let's look in our Bibles for my allotted time to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. We'll look as we go at three passages that have a common thread. And normally I take just a portion of a text and I just preach through that text. I feel like the Lord would help us and have us to look maybe this morning at maybe a different approach than normally I do. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was not taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Often in reading our Bibles, we just kind of read along and then seem like all of a sudden God, through the Spirit of God, highlights a thought. And I have thought that the Lord gave me some time ago. You know, I've learned a long time ago that when I was first starting preaching, now I've been pastoring where I'm at 36 years. But, you know, as a young preacher, you'd hunt and look and you say, boy, I want to find something ain't nobody ever heard. I found out it wasn't anything anybody ever heard. I tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. But the Lord has directed my attention to verse 19, where the Bible says, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. I'd like to preach for a few minutes on the word sweat. Now, I know it's kind of unusual thought. And be honest with you, it's not that others hadn't preached it. I never heard a message preached on it. I looked through every book I had and didn't find it. I was hoping I could find an outline already done. And my wife told me, she said, honey, when you die, she said, I'm going to take all your outlines. She said, I'm going to put them in a book. I said, you can't do that. They're already in a book. Amen. That's where I got them from. Sweat. Now, city people perspire. Country folks sweat. The word sweat means excrete perspiration. Liquid through the pores of the skin. You'll see maybe where I'm going. See, it's already in there. It just hadn't come out. Sweat includes everybody, young, old, male or female. Some sweat more than other people sweat. I remember several years ago that Brother Jack Green's, Brother Oliver D. Green's brother, Jack Green, was preaching. And I watched him as he began to preach, and I noticed his shirt collar began to change color, and it would go all the way down. And then I noticed his necktie would begin to change color. And I've seen Jack Green preach, and I know he's in heaven now, but I've seen him preach so literally water was dripping from his necktie. Now, everybody does not sweat like that. I preached this message the other day at a church and about sweat, and preached a whole sermon, never did sweat a bit. That's kind of like preaching on being filled with the Spirit when you ain't. I rode that horse before, I promise you that. You're up here giving all you can get about being filled with the Holy Ghost, and in the back of your mind you're thinking, Lord, where in the world are you at today? Yes, sir. But everybody sweats. Now, I'll move along. You sweat from working. You sweat from worrying. You sweat from waiting. Did you realize this morning, and I never thought about this till I thought about this. Did you know that the word sweat in your King James Bible only found three times in the Bible, the word sweat? And I want to look, if we can, for a few minutes at this word, my friend, that's called sweat. I hope that somehow or another this morning that God will carry us far above an outline. I'll tell you, sometimes I outline my outline, and everything looks so pretty. I'll tell you, it's all alliterated. It's all dressed up right. I'm telling you, but sometimes I'll be honest with you, my friend, all I've ever given them was an outline. Oh, may God the Holy Ghost somehow this morning carry us above a little outline, carry us into a region that maybe we have not been. I'm glad more about preaching. It's more than an outline. I'm telling you, may God somehow or another lift us up, cause us to look upward this morning more, much more than just an outline. First time we find the word sweat mentioned in the Bible is the text that I read. And reading this about sweat, there was a sweat in the garden that tells me about the fall of man. I don't know if you realize it, but Genesis chapter 3 is the saddest story in all the Bible. This chapter is all about the coming of sin. See, the world as God made it was a beautiful place. He said, behold, it was very good. But sin came in like a dark thunder cloud, blotting out the sun and the blue skies. I'm telling you, my friend, the Lord said it was good. I remember hearing years ago, you may have used it and it doesn't matter, but I remember hearing years ago, S.M. Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge was a black preacher in California. He's dead now. And he said one day somebody asked him where God came from. He said he thought for a moment. He said God came from nowhere, because there wasn't anywhere for him to come from. And coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And the reason he stood on nothing, there wasn't anything for him to stand on. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there's nowhere to reach, and caught something where there's nothing to catch, and hung something on nothing. And nobody said a word about that. He took the hammer of his omnipotent will, struck the anvil of time, caught the sparks thereof on the tips of his fingers, and bedecked the space with stars, and nobody said anything. And the reason nobody said anything, there wasn't anybody to say anything. Amen. So he said it was very good. Amen. thought about the world as God. It was a beautiful place. I thought about the garden, my friend, where man lived. It was a lovely place. He said it was pleasant. I think about the man and his wife living in a happy place. But it did not stay that way. Bible says in the book Genesis, the latter part of this chapter, deals with the sweat in thy face. What's causing all of that? Where's that resource coming from? I'm telling you, my friend, this morning that all of this is the result of sin. What sin caused in your life? What sin caused to this world? I'll not deal with everything this morning, but I tell you, if you'll read verses 17 through verses 19, you'll find out that Jesus took care of all of those curses upon us. Amen. I'm glad He did. Amen. But here, the sweat represents the contamination of sin. Yes, sir. It touches all sweat to some degree. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, those ill effects came upon Adam and Eve were not confined to just to them, but they passed on to all men ever since then. In other words, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were not put in a quarantine. No, I'm telling you today that Adam passed on his sinful nature to his son, and he to his son, and you to your son, and me to my son, and everyone who's ever been born inherited that evil heart, that spiritual death, and those dreadful consequences of sin. Perhaps an illustration to help us. My wife babysits our grandchildren. We got 7. All of them are not there at the same time. Hallelujah. But normally she has 4 every day. And she got, you know, things for them to do. She's so organized, she just makes me sick sometimes. And she sometimes get them in there and they make cookies. She got them cookie cutters. And some cookie cutters is like Mickey Mouse. Some are maybe like a flower. Maybe some are like another figure. But she uses those cookie cutters. Now just suppose she's using a cookie cutter of a rose. And maybe while she's laying that aside, she drops something heavy on that cookie cutter. And it bends the edge of that cookie cutter. No longer will that cookie cutter make a perfect cookie. Did you know what happened there in the Garden of Eden? That cookie cutter was bent. It's ruined. And every person that's been born, my friend, have been deformed. We've been under sin. We've been under condemnation of sin. It's like sweat. Everybody sweats to some amount. Everybody does. I was noticing Brother Curtis just last night. His sleeves came out from under his coat. And his sleeves was dark from there. He's sweating. Now, we may not sweat as much, but we all sweat. May somehow or another the Lord remind us this morning that every time we wipe sweat off our face, that you'll be reminded of sin's contamination this morning. But there's not only sin's contamination, but there's sin's condemnation. I'll not read verses, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. But long before the flood, God had defined the wages of sin. He said in that day that there is thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know this as well as I do, but Calvary was not an afterthought from Almighty God. Oh no, Calvary, my friend, was not a B plan. There's never been a B plan. Before there's ever a mountain or star or moon, there's a God in heaven that knew that His darling Son would go to the cross one day for all of our sins. Condemnation. Every one of us are condemned. Every time you wipe your face, may it remind you this morning, apart from the grace of God, you're headed to a Christless eternity. Somehow, maybe you this day that's lost without God, maybe as you wipe the sweat off your brow, may the Holy Ghost remind you that you're lost, you're lost, you're lost, all because of sin today. Some sweat profusely, some doesn't sweat at all. Aren't you glad this is not the end of the story? We know that God provided coats of skin, clothed them. It was setting forth the way by which a sinful creature could return unto and approach His holy character. I'm talking about sweat. That sweat there in the garden reminds us of the fall of man. Did you realize man didn't just trip? Do you realize man just didn't get sick? Do you realize that man could help himself up? Oh no, I'm telling you, when we were born in sin, we were dead, depraved, without hope in this world. Had not the grace of God came by where we's at and delivered us and lifted us up out of the sin that we was in. I'm telling you, this thing about sweat today represents the fall of man. There's another text that deals with the word sweat. It's found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not go gird thyself with anything that causes sweat." See, the first time we see the word sweat in the garden, it deals with the fall of man. But the second time that we find this word, my friend here, my friend, sweat is in the garments. Therefore, it deals with the failure of man. Has there not anybody in this congregation that hadn't failed the Lord? Every one of us failed. Some failed to a greater extent than others. But every one of us has failed short, no doubt, time after time after time. But here in the book of Ezekiel, he's talking about the clothing of the priest. I'll not deal with it, but I really believe that God's men ought to be identified. Some churches you go in, you don't know who the preacher is. You don't know if he's got on a red golf shirt or a blue golf shirt. Now, you're welcome. I think we ought to be identified. I believe in our attire, our outside, ought to identify us as a man of God. Don't you? And I believe you do know that and believe that. But here the Bible talks about these priests that they're not to put on any linen garments because they had to go into the inner courts of the sanctuary and nothing that was woolen because it would cause sweat. You remember wearing them old wool pants to church? And your mama's expected you to sit still. It hits you to death, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, it would bother you. It would bother you. Here, quickly, going back to those priests, they must dress themselves cool that they may be more readily about their work. This was necessary because their work was around the altars, which had constant fire upon them. Have you ever noticed anybody in church when the fire falls, they get a little squirmy? Some of you look a little squirmy this morning. A little itchy, seem like uncomfortable. Wonder why she's testifying. Wonder why he's doing up there. How come that they're singing up there? They get just a little itchy when the fire of God falls. I tell you, I like it. Hallelujah. I enjoy when the presence of God comes down where I'm at. I'm telling you, I thoroughly enjoy that. But these priests must dress themselves clean and neat and avoid anything that was sweaty and filthy to signify the purity of mind with the service of God is to be attended. Can I throw this out here? And I know this is only a sermon I brought with me, so if this thing don't strike, we're in a big mess, I'm telling you. You know, this is so deep. Brother Tom Gillen would say, you probably won't get this. But you know, according to our text, it does matter how you come to the house of God. I think it does. He's talking about the priest coming before God at the tabernacle. I think it's important. I think it's vitally important, my friend, how we look when we come to the house of God. As we have already seen, sweat came in with sin. It was a part of the curse. And those clothes, watch it, they came in with sin. Coats of skin. Coats of wool that came from sheep. I do not know for sure, but I feel like that's what Adam had to dress in, was woolen clothes. I think I'm right about that. But clothes came in with sin also. Listen to me. Hey, the woolen animal, see, do you know why a sinner cannot approach God at all? Because of his woolen clothes, because of his sin. But aren't you glad today, my friend, that we are no longer, you that saved, are no longer dressed in woolen clothes, but we've been dressed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we could not come before him, but now we can come before him. I say, bless his name today. You know, sweat, sin, it'll cause you to not enjoy the presence of God. I thought about the signs of sweat. It begins underneath the skin. It's unnoticed at first. Unnoticed by others. They can't see it. You don't think much about it. Why, I'm just sweating now a little bit. Do you know that's how sin always begins? It's just a little bit. A Wednesday night or two, or a Sunday night or two, or not tithing a week or two. I'm telling you, missing out on the things of God. It always starts that way. I'm telling you, my friend, it always starts, most of the time, it doesn't start with a drunken or an alcoholic, or it doesn't start, my friend, with some gross sin, but it starts just a little bit. It starts with just a small amount. The signs of sweat. Then there's quickly the stench. You're running the light back there, praise the Lord. Listen. Then it begins with the stench of sweat. Wonder why they don't fellowship me anymore. Wonder why they ain't my buddy no more. Wonder why it seemed like they keeping a distance from me. Could be because of sweat. could be because of sin. I'm telling you, hey, do you know that when they get away from God, they know exactly what it is to put on some spiritual deodorant? Oh, I visit them around my neighborhood. Lord, I don't know how many times. And I say, do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. But boy, I was baptized one day and put a little spiritual deodorant on. And I witnessed to a guy, and God knows I'm telling it right. I witnessed to a guy and I told him, I said, you need to be sure that you're saved, because you're not going to heaven unless you're saved. He said, oh. He said, I guess I'll be all right. He said, I know two preachers. He was serious as he could be. I said, you can know 1,000 preachers. I'll tell you, that not to get you to heaven. I'm telling you, you got to know Christ, the Son of God, and the forgiveness of sin in order to go. It's going to take more than some spiritual deodorant, my friend. Don't blame others for the consequences of your sin. There's the saturation of sweat. Can't hide it any longer. Everybody knows. And you try to wipe it off. You can't control it. Am I telling you, listen, I've heard people come up to me and they say, have you heard about so-and-so? Man, I cringe about them every time I hear that. But what they're telling me, that so-and-so, whether it's a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or somebody else, they can't hide it any longer. Everybody knows about it. I'm talking about this thing about sweat. That priest that goes behind there. It could be that he walks back there and begins to maybe perspire a little bit because of the fire. He begins that way. For long, he feels like he's saturated. I'm telling you, sin will saturate you. Can't hide it. Kind of like cutting grass. You remember cutting grass and how sweat would come down your face and get in your eyes? That tells me that sweat is blinding. You can get to the place that you don't see nothing wrong with anything. Sweat has blinded you. Then there's the staining of sweat. It leaves visible signs. I don't know. This may not be a good subject to mention up here, but you men that wear sweatshirts, do you know what I'm talking about there? You wear them a few weeks or a month or two. I don't care what kind of deodorant you use. I guarantee you, they're stained. They'll be stained because of sweat. Now, I know somebody's already thinking right now, I'm going to tell them how to do that. I'm like, well, I wish you would tell me how to do that. The staining of sweat, it leaves visible signs. I know I got some visible signs of sweat in my life before I was saved. Matter of fact, I've probably got some in there since I've been saved. I see people all the time. I'm telling you, they get cuts and scars all over their face. And you ask them what happened, they'll tell you before they come to Christ that they was a gangster. They was one that loved to fight. And those scars came from their sin. Sweat will leave scars. Let me close. The last time we find the word sweat, it's found in Luke 22. Now, if the first time we see sweat talks about the fall of man, the second time we looked at it, we said it deals with the failure of man. Oh, the third time it deals with the forgiveness of man. and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as drops of blood falling down to the ground. Listen, he had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. I'm grateful, my friend, for the sin that, my friend, you think about this. My friend, we inherited that sin nature. We'll fail God, my friend, along the way. But I'm glad there's one that took your sins and my sins and made those sins his very own. I say hallelujah today. Bless his sweet name today. I'm glad for the sweat. You know, I'm closing. You know, you've seen pictures of Gethsemane. And it's always Jesus looking so nice and clean and kneeling on a rock. I'm telling you, that's not the way Gethsemane was. The Bible says he fell on the ground. He'd already been beaten. I thought about this. When he fell on the ground, he fell in that dirt so he could identify with us. His blood mixed with that dirt so we could be identified with him. All of grace is my story. All the way from earth to glory. Quickly today, listen. The miracle of salvation is not that we looked in his direction. But the miracle of salvation is that he looked in our direction. The miracle of salvation is not so much we sought him, but he sought us. It's not so much as we accepted him. A miracle is he accepted us. I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for the work on the cross. I should appreciate what I heard last night. What a blessing it was. Thank the Lord today. Amen, preacher.